Everybody, good evening. It's November 15th, Sunday, and we are shut down for COVID, as all of you know. We're going to go straight into preaching right after a couple of announcements here real fast. And I didn't ask the musicians to come in this today. I just felt like we got hit so hard with it. We had wound up with 17 positive cases, 17 or 18 that I know of, and so many folks were affected. I just decided to let folks kind of stay at home, quarantine, do what they wanted to do. And a reminder that we will still be shut down on Wednesday. We'll be doing live streaming on Wednesday, and from there we'll see what happens. Kind of waiting to see. We didn't have any new positive cases later in the week or this weekend, and so I'm hoping that everybody's tested positive that will, but we'll see how folks are doing this. In my case, that kind of seems to linger. I'm going into a couple weeks tomorrow because I was sick right after that November 1st Sunday service. I got sick early Monday morning, and my wife and I have been off and on kind of sickish ever since then, so it does hang on for a while. But in any case, we'll see what happens after Wednesday, but we will for sure be shutting down on Wednesday. Let me remind you what I mentioned this morning, both for Brother Jared and Brother Mike Wettereth. If you guys are interested, and for that matter, ladies are interested in writing a letter to those guys, you're welcome to get the address from me and send your own letter or card. That's more than fine. If you wanted to do like we did last time, where you send me a Word document by email, I'll copy it off and collate them together, and we'll send the letters all in one packet. Doesn't matter a bit to me, but we'd like to maybe get that going. Thanksgiving's coming up pretty quick, and so it'd be an encouragement to those guys. One other thing along that line, Nancy Grimmer is came through her surgery fine. She is at an interlude facility right now. That's the new name for one of the big rehab facilities, and I'm not exactly sure where it is. The address is such, but she's there. My wife talked to her today. She is in a lot of pain, and so she wasn't interested in talking a lot, but I have her number. So if any of you ladies are interested in calling Nancy, please contact me. I can put you in touch with her, give you the number, and we can probably find an address. In fact, I'll do that tomorrow so I can send some flowers. But that's the thing. So if any of you are interested, need any of that information, please let me know. We are going to go to the book of Proverbs tonight. I'm going to go straight into Proverbs. Jeff and I are the only ones here tonight, and we're not going to sing. So we are in the book of Proverbs. You can turn to Proverbs chapter 14 to start with. Proverbs 14. And I want to show you in Proverbs 14, notice verse 24. It says, "The crown of the wise is their riches." Then it says, "But the foolishness of fools is folly." Read you another verse here that will tie in. Look in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 12. And verse 12 says, "Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly." So let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started tonight. Father, thank you for a chance once again to stand behind a pulpit with some folks listening in, even if they're not here in person, with a chance to preach the Word of God. And Father, we live in dark and treacherous hours. We are, if we're left to ourselves in the flesh, we can be alarmed by the things that we see transpiring. We are, however, admonished from the Scriptures that in this world ye shall have tribulation. And the Lord Jesus Christ did all he could to and for that matter, the Apostle Paul and many others, did all that they could to ready us for a time of turmoil and tumult, that life was going to be tough at times for every person, and that the perilous times overall hold a threat and a hazard that is not known in other places at other times. Lord, I pray that you'll equip us, and Father, we pray you give us the right attitude about things, and Father, help us strengthen our faith, and Father, give us the fair warnings that you always do to be able to help us to be able to cope in these last days. Thank you for your goodness to us, and we pray that you might help us to be instructed tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me turn you to the original verse, Proverbs 14. And I just wanted you to grasp what it says there at the end of the verse. It says, the crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. So the foolishness of fools is folly. That is, I would say it this way. I believe that folly is what fools do. So when you find a man that's a fool, what he partakes in is folly. That's what he does is folly. The fool shows up 115 times in the Word of God, the fool or a fool or fools. And he is a major character, particularly in the poetic books and the wisdom books. And of course, in those books, we're talking here about Psalms and Proverbs and some of the other poetic books. Those books are written for our wisdom. They hold great devotion, of course, for us. Inspire us to devotion to God. And so that the fool would be a part of those two, a major part of those two, of those places, is indicative of something. Now, at that point, I want to turn you over to Proverbs 17 once again, where we just read Proverbs 17:12. Now, I want to say this. I want to say that once in a while, you'll run upon a Bible verse, and you need to stop and think about it. And sometimes it's you may want to pause and ask yourself if you really even believe what the verse says. It says in Proverbs 17, verse 12, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. And, of course, that's what fools do is folly. Now, again, some verses that, you know, you have to stop and think about once in a while, just because the depth of them and the reach of them is beyond our normal understanding. For instance, where the Bible says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Do you really believe that just like a framing on a building, that all things attached on the walls, all the fixtures, all the brick, all the siding outside, all those sort of things, those are all eventually, when it all is nailed down, attached to the framing, to the studs. Now, do you really believe that this everything in this universe is framed by the Word of God? It's worth thinking about. We know verses on the rapture where we know that our corruptible shall put on incorruption one day, and that one day the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised and we shall be changed. And of course, we like to stop and think about those things because that's our great hope. But those verses that teach us that the lake of fire, hell, burns hot, fueled by nothing but the wrath of God against sin and sinners every day, 24 hours a day, and will always do so for eternity. It's worth stopping once in a while and thinking about, you know, do you really believe that? Because you should. Don't get me wrong, you should. I have not seen, it says about heaven, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of the sons of man the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. Do you really believe there's a place that's so wonderful that neither eyes have seen it, ears heard it, nor really could have entered into the hearts of the sons of men who are so capable, you know, of imagining it, great depth, that there's none of us that have even perceived the glories of heaven. Now, with those verses considered, I just want you to take a look at, once again, at chapter 17, verse 12. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. That is one such verse you need to really contemplate whether you believe that verse or not. You have to ask yourself if God really meant that verse. Did God really just say that he would rather see a man slip off into the woods and be mauled by a bear, robbed of her whelps, rather than come in contact with a fool in his folly? Because that's what fools do, is folly. I rather imagine, if you stop and think about that, that might be a very stunning thought, a very stunning doctrine to many Christians. What Christian really thinks God would rather have them go into the woods and be mauled by a bear, as opposed, and possibly crippled for the rest of their lives, as opposed to coming in serious contact with a fool and his folly? Who would think that? The actual application might astonish Christians to the point that they're paralyzed in unbelief. But I'll say this, that there are few things that are as unreasonable. If the books that I read or write, there are a few things that are more unreasonable or matter and are a very serious threat than a bear, a sow bear, robbed of her whelps. Now, I'd like to say further, there's probably no creature on the face of this earth that's better equipped to disassemble a man in little bitty pieces and mid-sized pieces and big pieces than a bear robbed of her whelps. There's a series of books written by a guy, and he wrote a lot of Alaska adventure type stuff and survival stories, and then he specialized some in some bear stories, and that wrote several volumes. His name is Larry Canute, and he wrote stories of bear attacks, and those of course range from smallish black bears, sometimes just juvenile cubs, all the way up to the big old grizzlies, and sometimes it was a male bear, sometimes just sows, and of course the cubs are always an issue. I know enough to know that when a grizzly bear is weighing in around 12 or 1300 pounds, that you have a serious problem if he decides he would like to take you apart. They say that a full-grown grizzly bear can knock the head off of a full-grown heifer or a steer with one swipe of his paw. That's an awfully powerful animal. I read a story some time back about one of the mountain men that was mauled. I think I told you about it a couple weeks back. Mauled by a bear and seriously crippled up, and sewed himself up as best he could, and wound up, because he couldn't walk, crawling out to save himself somewhere over 100 miles or so. He crawled for over 100 miles to save himself after a bear attack. You say, well, what's the point? Well, I want to point out that the Lord expresses an extraordinary sentiment here. He says that he would rather, I would rather a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man than a fool in his folly. You're better off running into a mad mama bear. Now that should affect how you look at some things. Either the Lord's position is alarmist in the extreme, or else a fool represents a much greater damage and hazard and detriment to you, your family, your children, and all your friends than you sometimes acknowledge. And we have a tendency to think of them as, you know, the jester's hat and just being a goofball and all those things, but I'm afraid that a fool is a little bit more than that. If you take these verses serious, it should affect your acquaintances. It should affect your friends. It should affect who you're willing to go get counsel from. It should affect your news sources, if you wouldn't mind me saying so. And as far as the social websites and all the things that go on with all that stuff, it might make you think twice about Facebook and maybe some other stuff like TikTok or whatever other nonsense is going on, but educational sources. I want to preach to you tonight on better a bear than a fool. That is, you would be better to run into a bear robbed of her whelps, says God now, says God, than to run into a fool in his folly. Now, folly is what fools do, and to give you a quick rundown on things, there are some terribly egregious sins that fools commit, and they're known as folly. Shechem, the son of Hamor, saw Dinah spying out the ladies of the land, and he defiled her. And that was called folly in Israel. So it's a very serious thing, and that would follow with what we would consider something very serious. In Deuteronomy 22, the adulteress is accused of folly in Israel. Achan committed folly in Joshua chapter 7 in Israel when he stole the goodly Babylonish garment, the silver, the gold, and so on, but that was known as folly in Israel. The Benjamites of Gibeah, who sinned against that man and destroyed his wife, that was known as folly. Amnon's sin was known as folly. And just to get away from the idea of adultery a little bit, the Bible says that the angels were charged with folly when they departed from the Lord and rebelled against him in Job chapter 4, verse 18. Now, with that said, I would like to raise your awareness tonight of why it is that God is against this world. We saw this morning in Sunday school that friendship with the world is enmity with God, that God considers friendship with the world enmity. And sometimes that's another verse that we usually kind of go over and don't really stop to think what we just said, but that God considers this world his enemy. I'd like to raise your awareness of that and of God's sentiments about how serious this matter is, because he says it is better meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. He'd rather see you go into the woods with a bucket of blood, call in the bears and get mauled, than fall into the hands of a fool and his folly. And you'll have to make up your mind whether you think God was serious about that or not. You'll have to make up your mind whether God spoke through Solomon when he wrote this proverb or not. You'll have to make up your mind whether you think that this was important to God or whether he was just bluffing. And, of course, you know what I think about that. But look back, if you will, and this is more of a Bible study in some ways than a sermon. I just want to make you aware of some things and maybe show you some things you haven't thought about for a while. There's something you probably have. Anybody can quote the verse once I start. Look in Psalms 14 real fast. Psalms 14. Now he says, let a man meet a bear robbed of her whelps. It's better than if a man runs into a fool in his folly. So the title of the message is Better a Bear Than a Fool. And in Psalms 14, verse 1, it says, the fool. Now, fools, what fools do is folly. So this is folly. This is nonsense. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now, I know you know that verse. And I tell you what, you may have never thought about it in these terms, but you would be better off to run into a bear, a sow bear, robbed of her whelps, than an atheist. In the end, the bear may do you far less damage than the atheist does. The atheism has become a respectable position in our society, our culture. That should pretty much put the writing on the wall to you as far as America being a Christian nation, because it's not. But it's become a popular position, a respectable position. It's considered intellectual to adopt the tenets of atheism or perhaps agnosticism. It's considered the scientific position. It's considered a noble and a righteous position for a teacher, a professor, a researcher to take. It is the cornerstone of modern science. It is the cornerstone of evolution. It is the backbone of higher education as we know it. And atheism ignores a lot. Atheism ignores the declaration of the creation itself. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech. Night unto night showeth forth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The atheism ignores the declaration of the creation itself. It ignores design. It ignores engineering. It ignores ingenuity in putting things together in ways that there's no simple way that these things could have evolved together to form these systems. There's no way. And atheism ignores those things. They ignores things in the microcosm, that is the tiny, minuscule things that fit together and work together like a clock. And it ignores things in the macrocosm, that is in the outer universe, the huge monumental things, the grandiose things that happen. Atheism ignores those things. It ignores the conscience of man, where man's conscience plainly testifies to the fact of a God, of a creator, and of an accountability to that creator. I want to say that atheism ignores the spiritual nature of man. It simply reduces man to a biological life that was by accident. And one day, of course, biological life leaves this body, and there it all ends. And that's what an atheist believes. I would say, and I say that God says that you'd be better off to run into a bear robbed of her whelps in the woods than to run into an atheist. Atheism has robbed an entire set of generations of God, of faith, of the Bible, of conscience, of morals. It has robbed them of their souls. It has robbed them of their tranquil eternities. Because they will not know a tranquil eternity. They will go and burn in hell because they believed in atheism. The Lord says it's better for you to get mauled and crippled, perhaps for life, than to fall into the regular hands of a fool and his folly. And that fool is the atheist. So you're better to fall into the hands of a bear than an atheist. So I should ask you then, what does that mean about your kids' education? What does that mean about where you send your kids to school and the books that your kids receive from their school and the things that they learn from? What does that say for films that you see, for the medicine sometimes where you go to get medicine and you have to deal with people who believe these things? And how much trust do you really put in them? How much trust do you put in the news agencies? How much trust do you put into this world's idols? By the world's idols, I mean their heroes. We've been taught routinely by the world to elevate and magnify Hollywood stars and music stars and sports stars. And a lot of times these people are reprobate in the extreme, and not only more immorally speaking, but sometimes they don't believe in God, and yet they hold great sway with children, with young people, with teenagers, and for that matter, full-grown men. And a lot of times, because you like them and you like a character they played, you have a tendency to give them more credit than they deserve. You would have a tendency to go to the woods with them instead of... The fact of the matter is you'd be better off to go into the woods with a bucket of hog's blood and get mauled by a bear, the Bible says, the God says, than go into the woods with them. You say, what's the point? Well, how serious are you about what the Lord warned you about? I mean, do you take this seriously, or, you know, you take everything with a grain of salt, and okay, well, you know, the Lord is just a little alarmist on this thing, you know, da-da-da. How could it possibly be worse? You know, how could it possibly be better to go and get mauled by a bear than to get tied up with somebody that's caught up in his folly? Well, if that's true at all, the Bible says that an atheist is a fool. The fool has said in his heart there's no God, and you'd be better off being mauled by a bear. At least a bear won't rob you of your God. At least a bear won't talk you into doing things against your conscience. He may maul you, he may kill you, he may cripple you for life, but at least you'll still be spiritually intact. And that won't be the case with an atheist. He who has no God has no anchor at all. And I know that there's probably nobody I'm talking to right now that's in danger of, you know, forsaking God entirely. But I think that you should take seriously what the Bible says about these things in Proverbs chapter 17. Well, take not only Proverbs 17, turn over back, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 13. Let me show you another fool and his folly. And folly is what fools do. I don't even hope that I will cover all of this extensively or exhaustively. Tonight, there's probably too many other things. And so I have about 10 points to make, and I hope that it would just alert you to the fact that God looks at this thing a lot different than we look at this thing. And I've read now several volumes on bear attacks in Alaska and the Yukon and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they're horrifying accounts. Sometimes the bear chews the guy's head and peels his face off and peels off his hair. And he walks around until he can get out to civilization with his face and his hair hanging down, you know, down on his chest and stuff like that. It's just horrible to think about. And yet when you stop and think it's better, let a bear rob of her whelps. Take a man rather than a fool in his folly. It ought to be a serious thing for you to think about. And the fact that you're a father or a mother and that you have kids that depend upon you to protect them in some ways that they won't protect themselves because they don't have the sense. And you think about all the things that folks are caught up in and all the social media nonsense and all those things that plainly... it doesn't take very, very long to sniff out a fool in those places. And yet, it's as routine as it can be. It shouldn't be. Let me point you to Proverbs 13 before I linger too much longer there. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 16. Notice what it says here. It says, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A fool layeth open his folly. What fools do is folly. And what the fool does is he lays open his folly. I am not an advocate of anybody cultivating a secret life or secret sins or a shadowy life or living under cover of darkness and camouflage. The Bible plainly is against those things. And so I'm not for that. But what I am for is folks being ashamed when they're acting wicked. And I want to say that folks used to have a conscience about public disgrace. I'm not saying there was never some hypocrisy in it. I'm not saying that. I know immediately your mind flies to movies you've seen about, you know, people who were disgraced publicly about things they shouldn't have been, et cetera, et cetera. And I, you know, all those little Hallmark movies, I get all that, but folks used to have a conscience about not just displaying their wretchedness openly for the world to see. People used to have a sense of shame. And I want to say that we were better served while a bunch of folks were still in the closet. And while folks did have a sense of shame about certain sins, we were better served then than we're served now. The devil has done a masterful job in bringing disgrace, public disgrace. The Bible uses a word, ignominy. Ignominy. It means public disgrace. The devil's done this job of bringing everybody out of the darkness and out of the alleys and placing on display all manner of wretchedness and wickedness. We now advertise things on a regular basis that ought to make you blush in public. I remember, and I never watched in any length, but there for a while as a genre, the whole Jerry Springer show, those type TV shows, talk shows and such stuff, the Geraldo Rivera shows where they bring on stage these people, these lowlifes, and, you know, they are in every entanglement of sin in this world, everything from drugs to just raunchy behavior. And they drag these folks out and they set them down and they talk out all these things. And it's just placing on public display this complete wretchedness, this horrific display of disgrace. And I just want to say that there is a lot that still belongs in closets and in dark alleys and in the dark. The Frank Show has now come out into public, and on any given day, you can go and see sights. Just people walking around in public that in years past and decades past would have been recognized as what it is, which is a disgrace. Again, the book says, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. I was thinking about this today. I mean, you now have open rainbow parades and pride days and all this nonsense. I made mention of it already. I'm not going to spend all night talking about stuff like this, but surely you know that some of the stuff that's put on Twitter and Facebook and social media is disgraceful and has no place. You have no business trafficking in that kind of nonsense. It's gossip at very best. It's pornography or worse, at worst, and you really have no business there. I think about this, and I saw this blurb today. The president of the Southern Baptist Convention presently is a guy named J.D. Greer. And from what I could gather, he's the pastor of a Southern Baptist church in somewhere in, I think, Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina or such. But he's in the midst of calling. Now, this is a Southern Baptist pastor. We've said for years that the Southern Baptists have lost their edge and are compromisers, and for lots of reasons, it's been a long time and forever since the Southern Baptist Convention believed the Bible as the Bible, and they've been frittering around with bad doctrine for a long time. But J.D. Greer, their present president, openly calls for gender justice. Gender justice. That's transsexualism. He's supportive of it. He is acquiescing to the public disgrace, the open, blatant sin. And the Bible says you would be better off being mauled by a bear than going to that guy's church. Some of you don't believe that, but that's what the Bible says. The Lord says, let a bear robbed of her whelps take a man, rather than a fool in his folly. You know, we go every year up until, I think, till this year, to the Basilica Block Party, where this humongous drunken bash of, you know, it started out trying to get the Catholic Church down there a new roof, and just made so much money that they just had to keep doing it. So it's a rock and roll bash. It's a drunken bash publicly. A church sponsors it, and so on and so forth. That is a disgrace. It's a blatant disgrace. And you would be better off going to the woods and being mauled by a bear than going to that place to do anything but protest it. The office party that you're always being invited to, the Christmas party at work that's coming up where there's booze and dope and God knows what else. I think about a pastor I know of who marched in the Black Lives Matter in the Black Lives Matter parade. And there's coming a point with some of that stuff. Maybe somebody makes a mistake. Maybe somebody misunderstands. I don't think so. But you'd be better to go get mauled by a bear than fall into the hands of some of those fools. I want to say this about another passage. Look in Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs 26. Better a bear than an atheist. Better a bear than sin on public display. Look in Proverbs chapter 26, and if you will, go down to verse 11, where it says, "As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly." That's a nasty thing. Everybody that's ever had a dog knows that's nasty. Look, if you will, back to Proverbs 5 along the same path. The dog returning to eat his own vomit, it's nasty. And that's, he said, that's what a fool and his folly's like. Now, it says this in Proverbs 5 and verse 22, talking about the man that goes in to the strange woman, and there he's ravished by her, and so on and so forth. It says, his own iniquities, verse 22, shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Now, both the dog returning to his vomit to eat his vomit, and this guy that is bound there in his folly and in his sins because of his actions, I would like to say that it's better a bear than satisfaction in degradation. Better that you go into the woods with calf guts around your shoulders, attracting every bear in the land, and so you wind up mauled and perhaps crippled in life. Better that than the foolish folly. Better that than satisfaction and degradation. The dog will come back to that vomit every single time. We've had three big dogs in our house through the years, both while the kids were there and now after the kids are gone. And as much as I liked all three dogs, every one of those dogs will puke, and after an hour they back at it and they eat it up. And the Bible says that's like a fool in his folly. And I just want to say that it ought to be a shame. It ought to be a disgrace. Once you've vomited, you ought to stay away from the vomit. You need to clean it up, but that's all you need to do. I want to say that better a bear, better a man were mauled by a bear than to rest satisfied in his degradation. And there's 1,000 things to go down through and mention and stuff, but, you know, simple things. Maybe it's just because I'm getting old. I don't know, but things irritate me. And I tell you what, I ain't interested in walking down the street with a guy whose pants are half down below his backside. And I don't know how gravity's even holding his pants up. I would, you might ought to go to the woods and find a bear rather than go to the woods with that guy. You say, what's the point? Because they're satisfied in degradation. Underwear was meant to be worn under, not over, not visible. I don't understand. And better a bear than an atheist. Better a bear than sin on public display. Better a bear than satisfaction in degradation. That's not all. Look in Proverbs 17. I have several of these, so just hang in there. It'll go pretty quick from here. Proverbs 17, notice verse 10. Notice, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Now, while you're thinking about that, look in Proverbs 26 and verse 3. A whip for a horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. You know what a fool needs? A fool needs a beating. A fool needs a beating. The Bible says this in chapter 27, Proverbs 27 And notice verse 22. It says, though thou shouldst bray a fool and a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. It's talking about grinding grain. So you have this mortar, this flat, hollowed rock, and you bray that corn or that wheat in that mortar with that pestle. You grind it out and then separate it out and use what's left and right for flour. But this is telling you that in all three of those passages that a fool has a tendency to refuse to heed a lesson. One of the common marks of a fool is that no matter what you do, he just remains in his foolishness. And the Bible says it's better for you to fall into the hands of an angry bear, a sow bear robbed of her whelps, than be caught up with a fool in his folly. I mean, have you ever had a friend that no matter what happened, he could not be corrected? No matter how much he got whipped by mama, no matter how much he got whipped by daddy, no matter what happened, no matter whether he went to jail, no matter whether he got a ticket, no matter what happened, he just always seemed bent on trouble. You need to get away from that guy. You need to get away from that guy because he refuses to heed a lesson. And so you look around sometimes in public and you see politicians that have run the same gig and have run the same garbage for years and years, and they're not learning any lessons. Sometimes they have been reprimanded. Sometimes they have been taken to the law, but they never seem to learn better, I suppose, because it's so rewarding, the life that they have now, that they simply don't want to give it up. But that's a refusal to heed a lesson. If I had such a friend, I think I would get away. If I had a friend that was always in trouble with the law, I think if I had a friend that no matter how often somebody came to him and said, you shouldn't be putting this stuff on social media, and he wouldn't listen. The Bible says, let a man meet a bear robbed of her whelps, than a fool in his folly. Because that's a fool in his folly. He will not be corrected. And that's not what you're called to do. That's not what you're called to be. Notice in chapter 16 another thing. And we're covering lots of ground tonight. And I'm just hoping to give you an illustration of what this verse seems to open up. And there's a lot that I'm not saying. There's lots of verses that I can't even get to. But it ought to be a startling doctrine that God, by his own word, would rather you go to the woods with a bucket of blood and get mauled by a bear, perhaps crippled for life, rather than fall in with some of the fools that we have a tendency to fall in with. It ought to sober us. It ought to sober us about how much of an enemy this world is to God. It ought to sober us of, you know, what it is our children are being exposed to, our friends being exposed to, what we expose ourselves to in some cases. Notice this passage in Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, and notice verse 22. Proverbs 16, 22. It says, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. So you think about these high and mighty professors who take as much money as you will give them, and they will take your children that you send off to their colleges. And they have so many degrees, and they have so much experience, and they have so much wisdom, and they are so smart. And yet what they impart to those kids, to those young people, also, I'm talking about sometimes full-grown adults who are college age, what they impart is a travesty. It's a travesty. It says the instruction of fools is folly. A fool ought not instruct anybody. Now, there's another passage I wanted you to see, and this maybe brings it more soberly to us. Look in Job 42. You know Job's trials. What you may not have noticed is what was said about Job's buddies. Now, these fellas showed up, I would remind you. These fellas showed up and under the guise of being Job's bosom buddies and best friends. And they proceeded to take him to task. And by the time it's over, God's mad at him. And you'll see in a second what he says. But these guys, listening to them talk, I mean, you have to be very discerning. You have to read very carefully to realize where they went wrong, because what they said in some cases was theologically right. Some things that they said were doctrinally true. But it goes to show you how subtle some counsel can be and how close the devil can get to the truth and still mess you up. Now, we talked about this advisor who is a fool who instructs people. Notice Job 42, if you would, in verse 8. And here is what God said to these friends. Let me take you back to verse 7. It was so that after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing which is that is right, as my servant Job hath." So it was Job that was talking right. The Lord may still have found some things wrong and some things that Job said, but compared to the other three, Job was right as rain. Now, verse 8, "Therefore take unto you now even 7 bullocks and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly." These guys spent all those chapters shooting their mouths off and advising, counseling, instructing, rebuking Job, and they were dead wrong. And I bet if you read carelessly, I bet you'll have a hard time determining the difference between what they said and what Job said. It can be a subtle thing. I just want to say that you're better to run into a mama bear robbed of her whelps in the woods than to run into such an advisor as that. You better be careful of the counsel that you take. Just because somebody is on the internet and just because somebody has a big following doesn't mean he's right. And you better be discerning and prudent and discreet enough to recognize what is true and what is not. But better that you run into a bear than this kind of advisor. Let me take you to Proverbs 26. Don't worry, we're moving a little bit towards the end, so you're not going to have to suffer too much more. Proverbs 26. Now, we've gone over these verses a lot for a long time, but think about this way. Verse 4, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Now, can you agree with me that that's probably advice? That's advice coming from Solomon, the proverb writer. But can you acknowledge that we think that that's God's advice to us in dealing with a fool, right? Okay, answer not a fool according to his folly. Answer a fool according to his folly. Now, I never thought about it in this light, but what do you think God's trying to say there? He's saying, you're saying, "Lord, how do I answer this fool?" He says, "Well, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like him." He says, "You know what?" He said, "I don't really care how you answer him." He said, "Guy's a fool, and I've dealt with him before, and other folks have counseled with him. I don't really care what you tell him." And I just want to say along that line, you're better off running into a bear in the woods, a bear robbed of her whelps, than one whom God is ambivalent in answering. I mean that maybe God doesn't care how some fools are answered. Maybe he's given up on them. And maybe some of your friends, some of your social media people, some of the folks that you esteem in the news media, some of the folks that you esteem as experts, maybe God gave up on them a long time ago and let them go. He doesn't care how they're answered. He doesn't care if they're corrected. They're waiting for judgment. And maybe you ought to stop and look at once in a while at somebody that you're paying attention to like that and recognize the fact that maybe the Lord would rather you get tangled up with a bear than one who he doesn't even care how they get answered. Notice this passage too. You look in Proverbs chapter 20. What have we covered so far? Well, better a bear than an atheist, better a bear than to sin, placing your sin on public display, better a bear than satisfaction in degradation, better a bear than refusal to heed a lesson, better a bear than an advisor like advised Job, advisors. Better a bear than one whom God is ambivalent in answering. He doesn't care how you answer him, because it's not going to matter. There's this passage as well, Proverbs 20, verse 3. And we'll need to break off and do just a little work here just real quick, but it won't take long. Proverbs chapter 20, and notice verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Now, what fools do is folly. And in this case, this fool is meddling. Now, you know what meddling is. Meddling is putting your nose in where it doesn't belong. It's attending to other people's business instead of your own and stuff. So one of the things is that a fool meddles. That's his folly. And the Lord says, better a man fall into the hands of a sow bear robbed of her whelps than a fool in his folly. So a fool that's busy meddling. Look in Proverbs 17 once again. There's just a handful of verses I want to show you real fast. I'm not going to spend much time. Like I said, this opens up all kinds of spheres of study. But in Proverbs 17, verse 14, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. If there's something that's awry, if there's something to contend or strive about, there'll always be some idiot that wants to come and meddle with it and get a big thing started. That's what the news media's done. Now, I used to hear Doc say the news media'll get you killed, and I didn't understand what he meant. I understand what he meant now. The news media will get you killed. I think the news media have gotten people killed in this country in the last 6 months. I believe that with all my heart. And what they are is they're meddling fools. They have no idea. There's no professionalism. There's no credibility. There is no professionalism. There is no honor. There is no nobility. They're a bunch of scumbag liars. They're as bad as the politicians that they support. And you say, that's your opinion. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Look in Proverbs 18:1, because we're still looking at the meddling fool. The meddling fool. Proverbs 18, verse 1. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Plainly going back to the garden, man was not intended to intermeddle with all wisdom. Intermeddling with all wisdom exposes you to things that God doesn't want you exposed to. Say, you're better off falling into the hands of a she-bear robbed of her whelps than into the hands of a meddler who won't let stuff alone. He's going to get you messed up. He's going to get you killed. He's going to get you defiled. Look in your Bibles in Proverbs 20 real fast. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. This would preach all by itself just as a sermon, these few things on the meddler, but I have to go on. Proverbs 20, verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer. There's a gossip. revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. And so you've watched now as people shoot their mouths off and, and the flatterer, certain flatterers get anything that they want. Justified at all costs, no matter what they've done, no matter their hypocrisy. You say, what's the point? Well, you're better to fall into the hands of a bear than into the hands of a meddler like that. Look, if you will, in Proverbs 24, verse 21. Proverbs 24, 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. You know, the last several presidential changes we've had, it's been all about change. Oh, the change is good. The change is good. Not some of those changes. He says there are folks that are given to change. They're interested in changing all the time. It's like some women who can't keep the same hair color or same hairstyle the same from one week to the next. Now, are you saying that's a sin? Well, no, not really. But I am pointing out to you that it's likened to this thing where you're better off not to meddle with people that are boasters and that are liars and that are lowlives and that are talebearers and gossips and folks like this. Look at one more passage along this line, then we're going to move on to something else. Look in Proverbs 26 and go down to verse 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Well, that's a fool and his folly. Somebody meddling with strife not belonging to him. Somebody coming along a street corner and two guys are going at it, arguing, the guy gets in the middle of it and involves himself. That's stupidity. That's foolishness. And the Bible says, before you choose a friend like that, before you choose a companion like that, you'd be better off to go to the woods with a bucket of blood and bear country and be mauled and crippled than to get tied up with that kind of friend, that kind of companion. Now, it's up to you whether you believe that or not. You'll have to make up your own mind if you think that I'm being too radical in this. But I challenge you, you go read Proverbs 17:14 and tell me, 17:12, and you tell me if God meant what he said or not. I'll look in Proverbs 28 real fast, and this will go real quick. There's just two or three more here, and then we'll be done, all right? Proverbs 28, verse 26, and you know this passage by heart. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Well, according to the Bible, what a fool does is folly. And that means that following your own heart is folly. And if Proverbs 17, our text, is right, you'd be better off going to the woods and getting mauled by a bear than having a friend or a group of friends who are busy doing nothing but following their own hearts. And yet we've been told by the Hallmark Channel and by 1,000 G-rated 80s and 90s series and movies, that's exactly what should happen. I mean, Pa Ingalls told folks over and over to follow their hearts. And it's wrong. That is folly. That is the fool's maxim. I just want to say you'd be better off oftentimes going to the woods and falling in with a bear and being mauled than that being the case. Look quickly at two more places. Look in Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Lots of other stuff that could be preached, but we'll leave off in just a minute. Jeremiah 23, and go down to verse 13. Jeremiah 23, verse 13. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Those prophets have been caught up in folly. They're fools. And so it is that you'd be better off, better being mauled by a bear than falling in with a prophet of Baal, a false prophet. a prophet in his folly, a prophet who has a motive. And because he has a motive, he's going to do it his way and prophesy things different than what God said. You'd be better off to fall in with a bear. You'd be better off mauled and crippled than to fall in with somebody like that. Now, do you take that serious? I mean, do you really think that's the case? I mean, I just challenge you. Go back to Proverbs 17, and do you really believe it or don't you? Look in Psalms real fast. I have one last one for you. Psalms 49. I'm not going to preach about this long because we touched it when we came through Psalms 49 back on Wednesday night some time back. So it's been fairly recent. Psalms 49, and notice verse 10. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He said, I don't care how much honor you get. I don't care how many streets you have named after your name. I don't care how many buildings are erected in your honor. The man being in honor abideth not. He doesn't stick around. He doesn't live past his 70 or 80 years old. He still dies. He is like the beasts that perish. And this their way is their folly. I mean, this is their folly. They live and die as if they're great men, but what they really die as is like the beasts. They don't even recognize it. It says, this their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. This their way is their folly. That's the way they do things. This their way is their folly. Well, a fool works folly. And so I just want to say that better that you run into a bear in the woods than to get tied up with one that has no higher way. I mean, God's ways are higher than our ways. Your way is a low, base, profane way. Your way stinks. Your way is corrupt. And it's a sad thing that so many folks are going their own way and that their posterity, their children, one generation after the next, still justify that way. You're better off to fall in and be mauled by a bear than to fall in with somebody whose way who has no higher way. Now, once again, just take a look at the text, and I'll just have to ask you one more time before we close. You believe it? Proverbs 17:12. Let, God says let. It's an admonishment, it's an admonition. He said, go ahead, let it happen. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. He said, I would rather have somebody torn to pieces and crippled and in constant pain and in rehab the rest of their lives than falling in with some of the people that you run around with. Now, I'm not accusing any of you of any singular thing. I am pointing out to you God's seriousness in this matter. And sometimes it's easy to read a verse over and not stop and think, wow, does God really mean that? And the answer is clearly, yes, he does. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, I thank you for these folks' kind attention, not only tonight, but this morning. We love you, Lord. We need you, and we're asking you to heal us from this COVID mess. I pray that there would be no conflicts and complications, is what I'm trying to say. Amongst our people, we have some older folks, and Lord, we know that this disease can take older folks who have weakened conditions. And we pray for our folks that you'd keep them safe. You know, Brother Strobel just lost his mother from this because of a pre-existing condition. And so I pray that you'd be with us. Help us to get over it, Father. We'd like to be able to start church back at earliest possible convenience. We pray, Father, that you might keep the government off our backs. Lord, I don't know what comes with this next crew that's coming through. But I pray that you would protect us, Lord, and give us leeway and latitude, liberty to be able to minister to the public and to each other. Lord, please help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.